This is Press Play on KCRW. I'm Madeline Brand. If you've ever tried to lose weight, and let's be honest, that's pretty much all of us, you know how difficult it can be. Dieting, exercise, maybe it works and you lose those 10 pounds, but usually those 10 pounds sneak back. Maybe more. For some people with money and connections, the search for a quick fix has led them to drugs used to treat type 2 diabetes, semaglutides. The most well-known of those is called Ozempic. And in some social circles, especially in fashion and here in Hollywood, it's become the dirty, not-so-secret secret behind some impossibly small waistlines. It's also changing our collective definition of thinness and what it takes to be thin. Matthew Schneier is a features writer for New York Magazine and The Cut, and he recently wrote a big piece about Ozempic's growing off-label popularity. And Matthew Schneier joins me now. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Well, what happened to the body positivity movement? Is that dead and buried now?
I think that's the big question. I'm not ready to say it's dead and buried, but we have certainly kind of shaken the foundations of it a good bit. You know, the feeling that I got speaking to people for this piece about the new popularity of these drugs is that, you know, many of these people are still very happy to proclaim that they are body positive and size inclusive. And, you know, these are excellent ideals to strive for. But the part that goes unsaid seems to be that these are ideals that are best embodied by somebody else.
So there's no body positivity for ourselves. In other words, we're still obsessed with thinness.
You know, that's a fight that every person must wage with him, her, or themselves. But, you know, in speaking to many people, what it started to seem to me was that, yes, you know, our proclamation of standards is changing, but I think we are still very much in thrall to those standards. You know, the actual lived experience of them, you know, and our feelings about them changes a bit more slowly, perhaps, than our proclamations of them, let's say.
So these drugs have been used for diabetes, to treat diabetes for years. How did they all of a sudden, it seems like all of a sudden in the past year, come to be used to treat obesity, even for people who are not clinically obese?
All of the three drugs we're talking about today, Ozempic, Wegovy, and Mounjaro, are what are called GLP-1 agonists. They work by mimicking a hormone that occurs naturally in the body. Two of the three, Ozempic and Mounjaro, are specifically prescribed or meant to be prescribed for diabetes. And one of the three, Wegovy, is for obesity or people who are overweight with certain comorbidities that may come with that. But all of these drugs effectively work by slowing the emptying of the stomach and affecting the hunger signals in the brain. These drugs essentially, whether they're typically prescribed specifically for this purpose or not, they kind of trick our brain into thinking that we are full, you know, when we may not be. So, you know, people describe, you know, losing interest altogether in foods, even their favorite foods, you know, and having to kind of like chew through, you know, their old favorites more out of, you know, kind of compulsion than any desire. That is what's happening. And I think, you know, this is the moment kind of trend-wise that happened kind of slowly and then all at once. You know, these drugs have been in, you know, in the market for a couple of years for the oldest one and, you know, just about a year for the most recent one. And, you know, as they've kind of penetrated and they've been a huge hit, you know, in kind of the diabetes market, doctors have noticed, patients have noticed, and then following them, all the rest of us have noticed that they have this, you know, perhaps desirable side effect, depending on how you feel about your weight and about your body. And so one diabetes doctor told me, you know, this is the first kind of huge diabetes drug for the age of social media. You know, if you go on TikTok, there are hundreds of millions of impressions, you know, for the Ozempic hashtag, you know, similarly big splashes on Instagram and Twitter, Reddit communities. So the word is getting out there and people have learned that, you know, you don't technically have to have diabetes to get prescribed these drugs if you can find either a doctor willing to prescribe it to you off label or, you know, an alternate way to get it on the gray or black market. And, you know, all of those things do exist.
So people must really, really want to be thin because you have to inject this drug, which I mean, that seems like a big turnoff. If you're not clinically obese and insurance covers this with Wegovy, for example, you have to pay a lot of money. How much does it cost for these drugs?
The sort of MSRP, as it were, for Ozempic is about $900 a month. I believe Wegovy is a little bit up from that, and Mounjaro a little bit up from that as well, you know, in the kind of low thousand range. Yes, they are very expensive.
Well, talk about this woman that you interviewed for the piece. You call her Allison because I guess no one really wants to go on the record admitting that they're doing this. And she lives in New York. She's an actress and she pays around $600 a month, but she has drugs shipped to her from an LA provider. It seems a little dodgy. What is her story?
You've captured it exactly. Allison is a working actress. She is having some success, you know, and in light of all of this success, and in particular, in light of sort of future success or hope for future success, she wanted to really get her body into a place that was kind of quote unquote Hollywood perfect. She is not someone who had diabetes or pre-diabetes. She is not someone who is obese or even overweight by a standard BMI definition, but she is someone who felt that she could, you know, afford to lose 10 or 15 pounds, you know, afford in all senses of the word. And so she found a provider to sell her. It's in fact semaglutide. It is not the name brand Ozempic, which should raise eyebrows to begin with. And so, you know, the Danish pharmaceutical company that makes and manufactures Ozempic has it under patent until the early 2030s. But she has found a workaround and is injecting, you know, weekly a drug that she receives for less than market price from a provider that she has never met or seen. So far, she's had mild side effects, but is otherwise quite pleased with it.
What are the side effects in general?
They tend to be nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, sometimes constipation. Fatigue is one that's reported more anecdotally, headaches. But again, you know, I think it goes to show just how desirable this idea of kind of silver bullet weight loss is to people that's thought to be a trade-off worth making.
And for people who are seriously obese or seriously overweight and are at risk for developing diabetes or who have diabetes or developing heart disease or some kinds of cancer that might be related to their weight, this could be a lifesaver, right? So it's not all just for people wanting to look Hollywood chic.
Certainly all of the doctors and researchers I spoke with for my article, you know, made very clear these are very effective breakthrough drugs for the treatment of diabetes, too, on one hand, and obesity in the case of Wegovy. So, you know, where people have ethical issues with these drugs, you know, one part of it is just the kind of ethics of body positivity. And weren't we supposed to feel now that we, you know, every body is beautiful and, you know, thin is not the only answer? You know, I quote a fat positive writer and activist in my piece, Aubrey Gordon. It was a terrific podcast, used up great newsletter. And you know, she doesn't split hairs about this at all. She says it is morally reprehensible to take a drug that a diabetic may need because you want to look better in a swimsuit.
And also you need to be on the drug forever, it seems, or the weight will just come back.
Yes, you're right. I mean, Novo Nordisk itself funded a study of the effects of going off semaglutide, the active ingredient. And within a year of going off this medication, a very significant proportion of the study respondents had gained 100% of the weight back. So yes, you know, this is a silver bullet in some cases, but it's a silver bullet with the caveat that, you know, you have to kind of keep bulleting yourself over and over again or face the consequences.
Right. And I guess, again, if you are facing serious possibility of disease, maybe that's okay. People take blood pressure medication and cholesterol lowering medication their whole lives.
Sure. There is nothing, you know, in and of itself wrong with taking a medication, you know, in an ongoing capacity, you know, as long as you are doing so under the care and guidance of a doctor, you know, who's following up with you regularly, who's monitoring you for side effects, who is monitoring you for complications or anything like that. You know, it's a much dicier proposition, you know, if you are forking over your credit card information to someone you don't know who has training you're not aware of, who may or may not, you know you, your medical history or follow up, and just receive a cooler full of, you know, kind of vials and syringes once a month.
This class of drugs has been around for a while, maybe not these particular drugs, but this class of drugs, and they're largely seen as safe. And yet we do remember fenfen from years ago and the problems with that and other so-called silver bullets. Is there a possibility that there could be some really adverse health effects down the line with these drugs?
The specter of fenfen does loom over diet drugs and diet medications. Fenfen, for people who may not know, was a combination medication of two different drugs taken together, which had enormous weight loss benefits. But one of those drugs also did pretty severe damage, or could do pretty severe damage, to one of the valves in the heart, and in fact led to some deaths. Mm-hmm. So that was quickly stopped. Now, it's worth saying that the FDA never approved the two fenfen drugs taken together. The FDA has approved these drugs, our current GLP-1 agonist drugs, the Ozempic, the Mounjaro, and the Wegovy. So, you know, any time that you were going off label, whether under a doctor's care or off of a doctor's care, without a doctor's care, you were trying something that hasn't been fully tested. We just don't know.
Well, one woman you talked to said, well, she would draw the line at lung cancer, but maybe thyroid cancer would be okay.
It was a funny moment in the reporting of the piece, and it was also a kind of like suck in your breath moment in the reporting of the piece, because I said to her, you know, she was someone who was not diabetic. I don't believe she was pre-diabetic. You know, she is taking the medication that she's on. I'm trying to remember. I believe she is on Mounjaro under the care, you know, of a very competent doctor. And doctors all the time make decisions about whether to prescribe off-label. You know, the FDA explicitly allows this, provided that the doctor, you know, make clear to the patient that this is what's happening and that they run through, you know, possible issues with this. But I said to her, you know, we know that in clinical trials and tests that, you know, a certain type of thyroid tumor develops on lab rodents who are taking this medication. We don't really have any idea yet whether that would be applicable to humans as well. But, you know, it's enough that the FDA requires a black box indication on these drugs, and that can be a scary thing. I said, you know, are you sure it's worth it to you to lose, you know, however much weight, you know, the possibility of thyroid issues? And she said, well, you know, she hemmed and hawed a little bit and ultimately said, you know, if it was breast cancer, I wouldn't do it. And if it was lung cancer, I wouldn't do it. But, you know, don't we think that thyroid cancer is kind of a treatable cancer? And, you know, she had to laugh. And that ultimately is a decision every person must make for themselves. I don't think she felt her absolute best self in the moment that she was rationalizing that to herself, that she was making that rationalization. And it's one of the reasons I thought it was important to put it in the piece. You know, weight and body image and bodies are one of these areas where there seems to be almost no compromise we're not willing to make to look the way we want to look or think we should look.
Would you ever consider doing it?
You know, at the beginning of this piece, it had never occurred to me. And at the end of, you know, a month or 6 weeks of reporting on this, I was astonished how much I would sort of think to myself every so often, you know, like, I mean, if I could lose 5 pounds and it was easy and it wasn't that expensive, but I think that is the kind of fugue of reporting. And I have to say, since the issue came out and the story came out, I have not been quite as tempted as I was when I was in the thick of it with all of the patients and the doctors and the medical companies and all the rest.
Well, thanks so much. Fascinating conversation and piece. And thanks for coming on the show today.
Thanks so much for having me.
Matthew Schneier, he is a features writer for New York Magazine and The Cut. Up, we conclude our series of interviews with the makers of the Oscar-nominated short documentaries. Today, the Martha Mitchell Effect, about the wife of Nixon's Attorney General John Mitchell. Nixon said she was the reason his presidency failed. Martha was a larger-than-life character who loved to talk to the press.
She loved wearing, like, bright outfits, and she had these signature cat-eye sunglasses, as well as sort of these wig pieces.
That's next on Press Play.